You are listening to Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. And Therapy Hour is hosted by myself, Violet Miles, and...
Hale Hajibashi.
We are broadcasting from the traditional, ancestral, and unceded territories of the Coast Salish, Hunkamedum speaking Musqueam peoples. We're really excited to be doing a special bonus episode, really, for 24 Hours of Student Power. We have some really fun things planned today. What are we doing today, Hale?
Well, we are going to play some fun games. We're going to play a game of two truths and a lie because Violet and I haven't seen much of each other in the last 2 days, which is, in my opinion, too much.
A crime against humanity.
And we're going to listen to some songs that remind us of each other. And we're going to play another fun game of Never Have I Ever. Classic young people things.
We're going to be playing all those games and having some fun. And we might even have a chance to call in later on in the show. We'll see how the time goes. But yeah, we wanted to have a little check-in first at the start of the show. It's been a chaotic week. I've been helping organize this event of 24 Hours of Student Power, which if you're tuning in right now to CITR and you didn't know that it was 24 Hours of Student Power and you don't know what 24 Hours of Student Power is, it's kind of what it sounds like. It's 24 straight hours of completely student-led programming, and it's just a chance at CITR where we get to showcase our amazing student programmers and student exec here. We've had some great programming so far today, and we have a lot more coming up, so definitely keep tuned in, and you won't want to miss what we have coming up, but... Before we play some songs for you all, how are you doing, Hale? What's the sitch? What's new?
What's new?
Without giving away your two truths and a lie, obviously.
Well, my day has been good so far. I have not had as busy of a week as you have, but I've still been incredibly busy. My mom's coming into town tomorrow. We're going to go up to Whistler. So I've been
exciting.
Trying to get all my things done. Just getting ready for my birthday, trying to plan everything. That's going to be fun.
Yeah, the next time you'll hear us on air, we're actually going to be live again in studio, which is new and different for us.
But also fun and exciting.
No, we love it. Honestly, we love to be in the studio. It's a really great time, and we're happy to be here again today. But next time you'll hear us on air will be this coming Tuesday, which is also Hale's second most important thing of the day. First is Therapy Hour airing at 6 p.m. Second most is that it's Hale's birthday. How old are you turning, Hale?
I'm turning 23 years young.
True. So true. Yeah, join the club.
It's going to be very interesting. I feel like this feels very similar to last year where I wasn't like too excited for my birthday. Like I'm always stoked for my birthday. I'm one of those people that enjoys their birthday.
Yeah.
But I don't feel like something's brewing, you know? But I feel like once it happens, I'll be more excited.
Yeah, I think that as we get closer, like I think right now you have your mom coming and you have a lot of other things to think about. But I think once we get closer, you're going to be really excited.
Yeah, I'm going to be stoked. I have some fun things planned.
Yeah. Do you want to give a sneak preview of what's going to be happening?
Well, we are first going to Shameful Tiki on Tuesday.
Yeah, super fun.
So right after we're done with Therapy Hour, we're going to go drink, which is great.
All you could want, really.
All you could want. So that's going to be super fun. And then I'm having a B-Day party, which I'm actually very stoked that I'm allowed to do that.
What's the theme?
Oh, yes. My theme. I've been literally thinking and talking about this since October because I came up with this plan and it was so exciting for me. My theme is going to be narcissism. And the idea behind it is that you're supposed to dress as the version of yourself you are most obsessed with.
I love that so much.
And that a lot of people have been talking to me about it. Like, I had a friend the other day that was like, I have a ball gown. And I was like, wear it.
That's amazing.
Please. And they're like, I don't want to outshine you. And I was like, no, the point is that you are like,
you
literally,
shine.
You dress up and you're obsessed with yourself. Yeah. I hate that people don't like getting dressed up for parties all the time here. So I want people to have an excuse to like wear something they never have worn before or look just like amazing. Like I know the feeling of putting something on and being like, I am low-key obsessed with myself right now.
That's
and that's
true.
What I want everyone to feel like.
I do love the idea of everyone walking around that party being like, I feel really comfortable and like confident right now.
That's gonna be so fun. How are you doing, Violet?
I'm doing okay. I'm not hanging on by a thread at all. It's totally fine. No, I'm okay. I'm just a little bit sleep deprived, to be completely honest. Time has been crazy and chaotic. I've been working a lot and have had quite a bit of schoolwork and a little bit of fun too, like a little bit of social time that I've been able to sneak in there. But all in all, it's just a bit much. And I think I get energy from being around people, but more than anything, I do need time alone to recharge. And I haven't gotten a ton of that time recently, so I'm a little drained. So if I'm a little bit low energy today on radio, I'll try my best not to be. But if I am, that's kind of why. We all have our on days and off days.
You sound great on air. I'm going to say, the we went on air and you really just perked right up.
I'm really trying. I might have to take a nap after this. It'll drain me of all my energy I've saved up. But yeah, good thing this is radio and you can't see the bags under my eyes right now.
I can't see them either, to be fair.
Oh, good. You flatter me.
Yeah, of course.
We have so much planned today, so let's get into some of the tunes that we have lined up. Mm-hmm. We did kind of a version of this once when we were filling in on Flower Power Hour. Holly had this really nice idea to pick out songs that remind us of the other person. So we picked out two of those songs. Holly, you chose Sunflower by Vampire Weekend featuring Steve Lacy. Mm-hmm. And I chose Always and Forever from Colts. So let's give that a listen.
Thank you.
listening to the special Student Power Therapy Hour edition on CITR 101.9 FM. You just listened to Sunflower by Vampire Weekend featuring Steve Lacy and Always Forever by The Cults.
Yeah.
My choice of that, as we were talking about before, and we chose these songs as songs that remind us of one another. I remember when Sunflower came out and you were obsessed with
it. I was.
And you would play it at all of our pre's and you would do this fun little dance because the beginning chords are like the and so every time I hear that song, literally the first thing I think about is you.
Yeah, it's honestly, I was so addicted to that song when I first heard it. And actually, fun fact, the first time I heard it was on CITR because Alec Christensen, who is doing, I believe, a fill-in later today with ICEA and is also the former, yeah, he's on, actually, immediately after us at 11 a.m., and he is the former president of student exec here at CITR, and he also was a programmer, and he played that song. He's a big Vampire Weekend fan, and I heard it on CITR for the very first time.
And I also played it because your celebrity crush is Steve Lacy.
Yeah, it is.
And I had a really good friend that does some really amazing art, make Violet like a little Steve Lacy poster. It came out so well, too. He does like a bunch of like artist, like singing artist art.
That's musicians.
Musician.
If you will.
No, singing artist is better. Thank you.
Yeah, I like that better, actually. You're so right. What a thoughtful choice. I like that backstory. I love that song. And I do love Steve Lacy. What a heartthrob, honestly.
He is a heartthrob.
I saw him perform in Seattle. It was really great. I didn't really have like that deep of a reason, I guess, for my Always Forever by Colts. I remember you playing it in the car all the time a little while ago now, but it's such a such a sweet song.
Yeah.
And I really associate it with you, and especially driving in the car with you.
Good car song.
Yeah, definitely a really good car song.
I remember playing that song a lot 2 years ago. So yeah. I really associate it with the summer of 2020, so like the summer of COVID.
Oh wow.
Which was a very interesting when we were off air, I said to Violet, like, oh, that song like really brings back some interesting memories, and she was like, good ones or bad ones? And I was like, oh.
But I was like, should I not have played that?
But I think I have like just this association with certain songs with certain times of my life, so that Always Forever always reminds me of walking down our old street and like walking to the beach, because that was like all we could do.
I always took that walk too. We used to live in Dunbar, and we would walk down to Jericho.
Yeah,
because that was pretty much all we could do.
Yeah,
that's a funny association. it's funny how songs can really take you back to a certain time.
Yeah.
But yeah, let's get into our two truths and a lie. As Holly mentioned at the start of this show, we'll just be playing some games and just having some fun on this Thursday morning in the studio. And we wanted to do two truths and a lie because Holly and I, we spend quite a bit of time together. And I would say we know each other fairly well at this point, at least a little bit.
Slightly.
Holly and I live together. We're extremely good friends. We share a lot of friends. We spend hours upon hours talking, and we co-host a radio show together. So there's very little that we don't know about each other.
Yeah.
So we thought it'd be a fun challenge to do two truths and a lie, but we're going to keep it extremely recent because when we were brainstorming this idea, I was like, how could there be anything that you would tell me that I wouldn't already know about you?
And we said, we were like, oh, well, we initially came up with the idea on the Sunday night.
Yeah.
And Violet had a very busy week. So I was like, okay, so we won't even really see each other. Mm-hmm. So we'll just take the things from Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Flash forward to Monday night. And I think we talked for like 4 hours.
I don't want to talk about it.
But I did get some things up, and they're all very recent.
Okay. Why don't you go first?
Okay.
So you'll read your three statements.
Right.
I can ask any questions that I would like and kind of challenge you, put you in the hot seat. And then after I'm done with my fair share of questioning then you will, I will make my guess of which one I think is the lie, and then you'll reveal whether I'm right or not.
Okay. So here are my two truths and a lie.
Okay.
I watched Midnight in Paris this week.
Oh my goodness.
I badmouthed an old prof during my class with another prof.
Oh, I thought you were going to say with your mic on. No. I forgot we're not in online school anymore. Okay.
No, just in class. And then I started reading a Fezco and Lexi Howard fan fiction.
Oh my goodness. Okay. Ooh, we've got some interesting things here.
We should explain some backstory.
I was gonna
say,
so the first one about Halle watching Midnight in Paris,
I'm not proud of it. I understand that Woody Allen is a very, very bad person. I don't enjoy him otherwise. I don't interact with any of his movies anymore. I do love Midnight in Paris.
It's Halle's favorite movie of all time, and it's a comfort movie for you. Yeah. So when you tell me you've watched Midnight in Paris, I get a little concerned. I'm like, what's going on, bestie? You okay? You need help? Okay, so let me question you about that one first. So when did you watch it?
Two nights ago.
Okay, how was it?
So good, as always.
Was there a reason that you watched it, or were you just, like, bored? Or?
Yeah, I feel like this week I've been very anxious this week. So I was, like, up pretty late. I'd finished an assignment, and I was, like, really could not get myself to, like, calm down. So then I was like, what am I going to do? Mm-hmm. And then I was like, oh, I'll literally just watch Midnight in Paris.
When was the last time you watched it before this past time?
Oh, God. When was the last time? Probably a few weeks ago. Okay. Maybe a month or so ago.
What was your favorite scene in it this time around? Your, like, 200th time watching it.
200th time watching it. I overall, my favorite scene is the opening scene to that.
Okay.
Like, because it brings a lot of comfort, because there's a really, really great song. I can't tell you what it is off the top of my head. It's definitely in French. But it's a jazz song, and it's like the whole song is played, and it's just these really fantastic shots of Paris in the sun and in the rain. And literally the beginning, every time I watch the movie and the beginning starts, it just sends shivers down my spine.
And that's how you felt this past time? Okay. Wait, what was the second one again?
The second one was, that I was bad talking prof to my current prof during class.
During class. So how were you doing it during class?
Because a student, we were talking about, like, profs that are on our list, like our quote-unquote hit list.
Whoa, I feel threatened.
But the prof was talking about how he thinks that he's probably on some people's list of, like, worst profs. And then another student started talking about this prof that I realized halfway through we had both had together, and they were a very, very racist.
Oh, gosh.
Well, racist is an extension of the word, but they tried to explain that white people can experience racism.
I think I've heard of this prof.
Yeah, and also tried to argue with students of color about their own experiences. And then halfway through, the prof that was actually in the class and directing class was like, I think I know who this person is. Mm-hmm. I've had conversations with them. And then we were fully just talking about them in class for 20 minutes. It was really funny.
Okay. That was a lot of detail. I think that one's true.
Okay.
Third one, reading a fanfic of Fezco and, what's her name?
Lexi Howard.
Lexi. That's Euphoria characters, for those of you who don't know. That one I'm a little bit skeptical of. Mm-hmm. I think you might have seen a TikTok about the fact that there should be a Fezco and Lexi fanfic and maybe didn't actually start reading it. How was it?
It's all right.
I think that's the lie.
Is that your final guess?
Yeah, final answer locked in.
You are incorrect.
Wait, is it the Midnight in Paris?
Yeah.
Oh, that was my second guess.
I did not. That was the first thing that came to mind when we made this idea. I was like, I'm definitely going to put down that I watched Midnight in Paris. Oh. And then I almost wanted to watch it last night, and then I didn't. because I was like, I have to actually like, have this not be true.
Yeah, I mean, I guess it technically still would have been a lie because you said two nights ago, but still it would have been
whatever. I am reading a Fezco and Lexi fanfiction right now.
No way.
But I stopped reading it. Like, I think it was, yesterday morning. It wasn't very good.
Really?
They hadn't kissed yet, and they fell in love. And I was like, I don't know what 16-year-old thinks that this can exist.
It can exist.
You know what? I would say that I was on the way of being in love with someone that I'd never kissed before.
There you go.
But
therapy hour
that's not what I-
is open to all different experiences.
But I wanted them to kiss.
Yeah, that's super, super fair and valid.
That's what I wanted.
Your feelings are valid.
Thank you. All right.
Okay.
You go.
I've got some truths and lies
do
for
you.
You
know?
I do. Okay. My first statement is, I told my coworker that I thought clothing was genderless, and he laughed at me.
Mm-hmm.
My next one is, I downloaded Hinge.
Mm-hmm.
And my last one is, I saw one of our neighbors getting it on through the window.
Interesting. Yeah. One of the neighbors?
Yeah.
Which neighbor? Which building?
It's the building directly across the street from ours, and it was the window not all the way to the far right, but the one over on the top floor.
The same one that I saw?
I don't know which one you saw.
When did you see them getting it on?
It was one of the nights that I came back late from work.
Which night?
I honestly don't remember. It might have been the pit night when I worked at the pit.
When did you work at the pit?
Did I not tell you about this? I think I did.
Which time did you work at the pit,
Worked at the pit on Thursday, I think it was. Saturday. It was a Saturday.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Right. No, you did tell me about that. Okay. And then the coworker that laughed about the genderless clothing, was that Mo?
I don't know.
Oh, I really forgot that we're
names.
On radio. Never mind.
Yeah.
Retracting that statement. Is it
oh,
I'm sorry, there's a lot of Mo's out there. It's all right, doesn't matter. I'm not gonna ask any more questions about that. How was downloading Hinge?
Very interesting.
Yeah,
I don't know if I'm gonna keep it.
Why did you download it?
Well, because Holly downloaded Hinge the other night, and it was really fun. I helped her put together her profile, and I was kind of like, that could be kind of fun. I don't know.
Which prompts did you use?
I use the same pictures as my Tinder profile.
Uh-huh.
So I have the B-side of my camera roll or whatever.
Uh-huh.
What were my other ones? I don't know if I want to expose them all on air. I feel like it's a little cringy.
Okay, I don't think that you downloaded Hinge.
Okay, fine.
That's the one.
Okay, the other thing I want to say about this game that I had a disadvantage because
why?
Holly knows I'm a very bad liar. And I literally prepared for you to ask me about the prompts and then I didn't do it. But I'm a very bad liar, and Holly knows that. And not to expose you, but Holly is a good liar.
I was a pathological liar when I was a child, and it was a trauma response. So
You
can talk about that. You really saw one of our neighbors getting it on?
Yeah, I did.
Actually, that's insane.
Yeah.
I'm sure it's the same ones that I saw.
Probably.
That's crazy.
We'll have to compare when
was
we go
the
home.
Was the window like just wide, like their
wide,
blinds were
just
open. Wide
open? And I've been noticing since that they like pretty much never put their blinds down. So
I remember they had like a red light on once.
Yes.
Oh my god.
Oh my
god.
Good for them. Honestly.
Okay, that was a good one though. You did a really good job. You did a good job.
You knew so quickly what it was.
Well, because I feel like the Hinge one seems very out of character for you.
Really?
Yeah.
I guess so. I thought it would be realistic. I don't know. Whatever. We're going to listen to a few more songs, and then we're going to go into our Never Have I Ever section. I'm having fun today
in
the
studio.
I'm having
so much fun.
Therapy hour, baby.
Therapy hour, baby! It's Thursday, baby!
So we're going to listen to You're So Vain by Carly Simon, and then You Make Me Feel Like Dancing by Leo Sayer. And we will be right back.
Son of a gun.
You walked into the party like you were walking onto a yacht. Your hat strategically dipped below one eye. Your scarf is
Looking to get a reliable and affordable used bike? Need a repair or service to your current ride?
Come to the Bike Kitchen, UBC's full-service community bike shop, located in room 36 of the UBC Life building. Our hours are Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m.
If you buy a bike from us, bring it back when you're done using it, and we'll give you half of your money back, as long as you took care of it. If it needs repairs, we'll split the cost with you.
Yep, you heard us right. We'll give you crisp dollar bills for half the original price of any used bike that you buy from us, minus the cost of repairs.
For more information about our buyback policy and to stay up to date on any COVID-19 inspired changes, find us online at thebikekitchen.com.
Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to a special bonus episode of Therapy Hour on CITR 101.9 FM. This is 24 hours of student power. Very fun, very funky, very fresh. And we're playing games here in the studio today.
We be playing games.
We just played Two Truths and a Lie, and I did not win. If there's a winner and a loser, I lost.
And if there's a winner and a loser, I won.
Yeah, well, that's obvious.
You just didn't want to admit it.
My name is Violet, and I'm joined with
Halle.
And we're going to transition to a new fun and exciting game. We're going to play Never Have I Ever Therapy Hour Edition. So not your typical, not your average Never Have I Ever. We're really going to be exposing ourselves here.
I know.
We just compiled a big old list of kind of Never Have I Ever prompts, and we're going to answer whether or not we've done it. And if we feel like it, we might expand on it, give some tidbits here and there.
Yep.
Do you want to just bounce back and forth and
yeah, sure.
read a thing off? Okay, first one, starting off strong.
Yes.
Never have I ever gone to therapy.
I have gone to therapy.
I have gone to therapy as well.
I feel like we've made that very obvious about one another. Mm-hmm. Never have I ever ghosted my therapist.
Yeah, low-key, I have done that multiple times to multiple therapists.
Yeah, I've definitely ghosted a therapist.
Yeah.
But I've talked to a therapist about this before, and she was just like, it's not really that big of a deal. We understand.
I've had therapists reach out and just be like, hey, like, I haven't heard from you in a while. Just want to make sure you're, like, doing okay, you know?
Right.
Because we don't even always get that wrap-up session of being like, yeah, I'm doing pretty good. I think I'll take a few weeks off, you know? Sometimes it's just, like, I'm sobbing, and it's, like, a Wednesday, and then they just don't hear from me for, like, 2 months, and they're like, are you good? And I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm chilling.
I'm
like,
all right.
I'm fine. Don't you worry about me. But yeah, I've definitely done that. Never have I ever cried in therapy.
I have definitely cried in therapy. I've also gone into therapy before when they're like, how you doing? And I'm like, oh, I'm good. Like, not much to report. And then she's asking me all the right questions, and then I just start sobbing.
That's how you know you're paying the right person.
I'm paying them the big bucks for the big reasons.
Yeah, exactly.
Have you cried in therapy?
Yeah, obviously.
Well, yeah, I just wanted it on the record, you know.
Yeah, sure.
Never have I ever cried in public.
Yes, I have.
I recently cried in public.
Where'd you cry?
I cried on the bus.
Oh, that was one of our Never Have I Evers.
It is on the Never Have I Ever. I cried on the bus because I was watching a really sad TikTok.
Aww. This is why you shouldn't watch TikToks on the bus, Halle.
Which is also on our Never Have I Ever. But it was a really cute, well, it wasn't cute, it was really sad. It was someone leaving to go. Like, it was a family being separated because the kid and the mom were leaving Ukraine and the dad had to stay.
Gosh.
It was really sad.
That's
and
horrible.
Then I, like, looked up and it was, like, 9 a.m.
Yeah.
And everybody was looking at me.
I know I usually watch TikToks on the bus, but I'll listen to podcasts and I will listen to sad ones and cry and, like, stare out the window. It's so dramatic. Never ever cried on campus.
Absolutely.
Yeah, duh.
So many places. You made a really good bingo sheet for
I did.
Crying on campus.
Yeah,
once.
Like deep pandemic times. I made a good old fashioned bingo sheet and listed off a few key places that people might have cried. And actually, a lot of people participated, which was really fun.
It was so fun.
Kind of a trendsetter, no big deal.
You are, absolutely. Well, I did just say this, but never have I ever cried on the bus.
Skip it. Any ones that we've talked about already.
Never have I ever cried on the radio.
I have.
When did you cry on the radio?
It wasn't live, but when I interviewed our friend Ethan and talked to him about cheating.
Yeah.
And I was still healing from a relationship in which there was infidelity. And so I cried. And it was edited, like it was pre-recorded, but I have no problem being vulnerable on air. So just put it on there. It got broadcasted and I've cried on radio. Proud to say.
I've not cried on radio.
Today might be your day.
What are you going to say?
Before therapy hour ends, you have to cry on air.
Okay, I'll try.
That's the goal. Never have I ever cried in class.
I definitely have cried in class in first year.
I feel like you have told me about a time crying in class, but I can't remember what it was.
I've definitely cried in class in first year because of a bad grade.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was like my first semester of my first year, and I don't think I studied very much, and then I got a grade back in class and I think I started crying. But
that's why you have to get it on campus. When you're not around anyone, you can check and then have your moment.
I want to say that I've left class before to cry in the bathroom. I remember going through a breakup and then getting to class and just being super reminded of it. And then I like ran to the bathroom and cried.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever cried in class. I distinctly remember one of my professors crying in class as he read us an excerpt from one of our readings. It was really tender. And he's one of my favorite profs of all time.
Never have I ever intentionally made myself cry by listening to music.
No, I've never done that.
Yeah, you and I differ on this.
Yeah.
I have a whole playlist dedicated to songs that make me cry or make me sad. And there's a few songs that, like, if I listen to them and I'm in the right headspace, immediate tears.
Yeah. Can you think of one song right now?
You
have a lot of Lana Del Rey.
I was
going to
say,
playlist.
Lana Del Rey, I think it's God Only Knows? No, not God Only Knows. God, I Tried or something like that. But God Knows I Tried. That's
the song.
There
we go.
That song makes me sob.
Yeah. Okay. Never have I ever ghosted someone I was seeing.
Technically not.
Okay.
Because
Where does the technicality come in?
I've definitely like been talking to someone and then lost interest and then stopped speaking to them. Usually,
without like a reason.
Yeah. And just like stopped responding, usually on dating apps.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But never, I guess there was one person that I went on a date with and we both were not having a good time. And then afterwards, he blocked me on Snapchat. And then I blocked him on the dating app.
That counts, I would say.
Fair enough.
So I
have ghosted someone.
Yeah. I wish I could say that I haven't done this, but I feel like I have. I don't know. It's like a kind of a nuanced thing of like, is it ghosting? Is it not ghosting?
Right.
I basically stopped expressing interest in someone without any explanation. So maybe we'll count that as ghosting.
Yeah. I feel like
shout out.
I've never done it in the way of like I've been seeing someone for at least even like a few weeks.
Yeah.
And then just like stopped responding to their messages.
Yeah, that was what I was gonna say is like it's not like they were texting me a lot and I was not responding. I think I just said I was like busy or something and then it kind of got dropped. So they picked up on the hints, but
yeah, I was gonna say I think sometimes the hints could be like if the hints weren't being picked up on, then maybe it would be thought of as ghosting.
I think of it as ghosting because I'm like I wouldn't do it like that again.
Right.
You know?
Fair enough. Oh, is it me now? Oh, you wrote this.
This is a call out for you.
Never have ever gotten off the bus early to avoid someone.
I have never done that, Halle. Have you?
Okay. Not often. It's just sometimes. I actually, I recently did do this.
Okay.
It was the first time in a very long time I had done it.
Mm-hmm.
I used to do it in my second year a lot because I was a very socially anxious person. And the idea was, is if I ran into someone on the bus and I didn't know what to say to them, I would literally just like get off the bus and just get the next one because I couldn't handle being on the bus with them. I did do this recently to someone and it was genuinely because they were not giving me anything socially.
Yeah.
And usually like sometimes I can like deal with like awkward silence now,
mm-hmm.
but I had like 20 more minutes of my bus ride and honestly, I just wanted to put headphones in and not speak to anyone.
Fair.
Which I know that this person probably would have been fine with, but it just would feel weird to like sit next to one another to me. So I got off the bus. I was on the 99.
No, I love that you do that. I love that you do that so much. It's so funny to me.
I've given people suggestions to do it for because I'm like, the next bus is probably coming.
I have considered it. I've never gone through with it. Never have I ever had a texting relationship with my therapist.
I wrote this one. I've never texted or like, because I hear and see so many people that like say, oh, my therapist texted me this, or like my therapist has been texting me, or they sent me this meme or whatever.
Yeah.
I've never had that type of relationship with my therapist before.
Yeah, I've heard of like therapists sending TikToks and like just texting regularly with like my friends who are their clients, and I haven't had that relationship with the therapist, and personally, I don't think that relationship is really for me.
I don't need it. Also, I feel bad because, like, do they get paid for that? I guess it's just out of their own, like, because they're not billing those
hours. 2 cents per text.
And, like, I understand that it must be from the goodness of their own heart, but therapists are already so overworked.
Yeah. Agreed.
So I wouldn't personally want that type of relationship with
email,
my therapist.
You know what I mean?
I've definitely like sent my therapist funny things via email just like things that they like being like, I need some time. I need advice on this thing.
Mm-hmm.
And they've responded to that. But yeah, no, it's never been texting.
Yeah.
Never have I ever been extremely anxious before a first date.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, I said it because personally for me, every date. Every date I go on, and any date even that I haven't gone on but like could possibly be going on, all of it causes me so much anxiety.
Yeah, there have definitely been some first dates that I've been more relaxed about than others of the like limited first dates I would say that I've been on. But I've definitely been... I would say the last first date I went on, I was the most anxious I had ever been.
You were.
Yeah. I was crazy. I didn't like that feeling at all.
That's the way, and I kept saying to Violet, the way you feel right now is how I feel before every single date. Any date, any type of like hanging out that has some romantic intention, I literally cannot.
I was like, oh, it's horrible. How do you live like this?
This is why I am the way I am.
Never have I ever self-isolated as a way to cope. I've done this.
I've definitely done this.
For sure, I've done this.
And I put this down because I was recently talking about this with someone and they were feeling very upset that they did this.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, honestly, I feel like this is something that a lot of people do.
Yeah.
Like, there are times that I choose to have other ways of coping, but definitely sometimes I just feel like I don't want to talk to anyone. I don't want to leave my house. I don't want to put any energy into anything that I'm doing. I would like to stay home, watch TV, and just like not speak to anyone.
I think if your impulse is to do that and you are able to do that, then you should listen to your body and mind telling you that that's what it wants you to do. And because there's no point in forcing yourself to go out because you think that you should.
No.
And be having a miserable time. Like, that's just not fun for anyone.
Yeah,
so definitely not. I support that way of coping.
Also, because I feel like sometimes I've been guilty of this before. Like, I will force myself to go out when I, like, really don't want to.
Yeah.
And I just want to stay home. Mm-hmm. And whether it's, like, with other people saying, please come, or I feel like I need to go, I always end up having a really bad time. And I've definitely been to like at a social gathering when someone else doesn't want to be there.
Yeah, and you can tell.
And it's like, it makes me sad. And also it's just like, you don't really know what to do with it. So if you want to stay home, stay home.
Yeah,
that's what I say. Never have I ever, oppositely enough, never have I ever distracted myself instead of directly coping with an issue.
Yeah, definitely, for sure, 100%, I'm guilty of doing this. We don't have to talk about any specific time that I did that. Personally, if you want to share, be my guest. But yeah, this is, I would say this is a regular rotation for me personally. But.
I don't know if I can even think about a specific. Oh, no, I can think of a lot. I will share a very, not a fun one, but I guess like there was one time when something had happened and Violet had come home and I cried to her and then I looked at her and I said, okay, I'm gonna go out now.
Yeah, I remember
and
that.
And then I went out and I did, like, I just hung out and like went out for drinks with people and did not cope whatsoever with the situation at hand, which honestly, like, again, distraction is not the worst thing in the entire world. Obviously, we love if people can self-reflect and introspect.
But it's important to have balance, you know. Sometimes you got to distract and sometimes you got to feel the feels and you can't do both.
You can't do both
all
baby.
The time.
You got to pick one.
Pick a lane. Never have I ever used maladaptive coping mechanisms.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of times. I was writing these on the bus, so I think some of them are coming.
No, they're good.
No, I mean, absolutely.
Yeah.
Mainly I want people that are listening, hopefully, to just understand
realize
that we talk a lot on our podcast specifically about like the quote unquote like healthy and right way to cope with things and like giving you all these advice, and I hope people understand that we don't take our own advice all the time.
Yeah,
we definitely try to,
of course, but it's good to, you know, we support having the advice out there. Are we perfect ourselves?
Absolutely not.
Yes, we are. I'm just kidding. No, of course not. Yeah, we are definitely both guilty of using maladaptive coping mechanisms.
Yeah, we were just talking about that the other night. This is an interesting one. Never have I ever stepped over other people's boundaries. Mm,
yeah, I saw you had written that one down, and it was an uncomfortable one for me to think about, you know? And I can't think of a specific time right now, but I'm sure I have.
Yeah.
Like, I think I try not to as much as possible, obviously. Absolutely. I think sometimes boundaries are not explicitly stated.
Yes.
And there probably were boundaries that I crossed, knowing or unknowing.
Yeah. I think that this is a very interesting one, because I think another thing we like to do in our podcast is talk about the things that we want and that maybe we do, but then also the times that we've been the ones to like perpetrate some form of issue. And I have definitely had times where like I've had friends come to me and like say, you did this thing and I didn't want this to happen, or like this was something that we spoke about and then you didn't do the thing that I wanted.
Yeah.
Which I think it was an important conversation to have with friends. And then take, like, full responsibility and be like, thank you for telling me. I really respect that someone was coming to tell me. And then I'm going to fix it.
Yeah. Maybe on the other side of the boundary line, never have I ever been confrontational. We're both very non-confrontational people.
I was going to say.
I don't know if you've picked up on that from our other episodes.
Not like we've said that before. I would not classify myself as a confrontational person. I'm getting better at it.
Period.
We love self-work. Yeah, I'm trying to get better at it. I'm trying to become better at like understanding that I'm allowed to be confrontational and the things I'm confronting other people about are very valid, but it is extremely difficult
totally.
For me.
So have you been confrontational?
Honestly, recently, not really.
But you have, and like, this is a never have I ever.
Right. I would say I've done more confronting in the past year than I probably have the year before.
That's good.
I feel like
that's a positive trajectory.
And I've had some very good experiences confronting people where I've been like, this was good.
Nice.
I'm glad that I did this.
Yeah. I think for me, the biggest confrontation that I had was a little while ago now. That was the biggest confrontation I had in a long time, and it took me a really long time to get to the point of actually confronting the person. But the issue was just so enormous that I had no choice, really.
Yeah.
So I did it, and I was proud of myself, and that's enough confrontation for me. No more confrontation, please.
No more. This is the end. Okay, we are almost out of time, so I'm going to ask you one more. I am going to ask...
Pick a good one.
This is a funny one, because I think this is something that we both really like. Never have I ever spent a lot of money unnecessarily because I was sad.
No, I've never done that. I don't know what you're talking about.
I said this specifically because I have a story of you.
What?
Because you, I remember you were very sad.
Oh, God.
And you came home one day. I hadn't seen you, I think, in like 2 days. And you came home and you were like showing me all this stuff that you bought. And you were like, you know how like people say like there's like
retail therapy?
I think this is what I just did. And I absolutely loved it. I was sad and I went and got all this stuff and now I'm less sad.
Yeah, I used to treat myself to thrifting after every single therapy session.
Right.
When I was going in second year, and honestly it was great. It was a great way to like spend a little me time after my therapy session. Highly recommend.
So, I always splurge on like certain things. So like sometimes it's like coffee. If I'm very sad, I will, like, go to, like, community or something like that, or get myself something that I actually like.
Well, that was so much fun, Halle. That was a great old time. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in and listening to our therapy hour fill-in this morning. Next up, we have a very fun and exciting fill-in we talked about earlier in our fill-in, in our fill-in. It's going to be Alec and Isia, and they will be probably playing some tunes, hanging out, having a fun time. So definitely keep tuned in for that. And we have, after that, about 12 more hours of student programming. Mm-hmm. So that'll be super exciting. I know we have Sasha interviewing Love in Public. I'm really excited to hear that, as well as just a ton more exciting things